I want to welcome all of our campuses today because we have a very exciting day before us. A couple things that are really excited about is one, welcome Cypress that's with us, and welcome Sienna that's with us, and welcome Downtown that's with us as well. And so that's an amazing thing to get all of us together around the city. Let me tell you a couple things that are really exciting about today. Yesterday, and it's exciting today because I want to celebrate as a church, yesterday our downtown campus pastor, Lee Shaw, got married right here on this very stage. I got to be a part of the service and it was great. So downtown, Lee's got a wife. God has done it. It's awesome, which is great. But we want to celebrate that in Siena and the Loop campus as well, and just celebrate Lee and Amy and just their new marriage. What a blessing they are to our church. Secondly, what we get to celebrate today is the World Mission Offering, and we are cheerful givers and excited about that. Let me tell you what's going to happen today. This is what you're a part of. All the things that we could see on the news, all the bad stuff going on, all the things going on in the world and in our lives. Let me tell you what you're a part of in this next few moments, in these next, 30, 40 minutes kind of thing. Here's what you're a part of. We're going to open up the Bible after we've sung songs to God. You're going to be surrounded as you are right now with people that love you and care for you. And we're going to open up the scriptures and we're going to look and be taught by God's word. We're going to hear God speak to us, and then we as a church are going to join together, and we're going to give. And we've been talking about this for a long time, for a few weeks now, if not more, to be able to say, we're all going to give, and we're going to be a part of it. You ready for this? In the next few moments, we are going to change the world. I don't know how much better it can get than for you and I to spend an hour or so of our time to come together and to be able to change the world. Let me tell you where we're going. And some of you may be nervous about, oh, I wasn't ready for this. I didn't know. Hey, God was ready for this. He knew you were going to be here. It's okay. Just be a part of changing the world, seeing what God's doing. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. Here's what we're going to do is we're going to have, at the end of our time, and the whole message isn't about giving. Don't worry, you don't have to get too nervous about it. But to be able to say, we're going to do a work of the Lord and be able to give, to be able to change this world in supporting missionaries throughout the world. Here's what we're going to do. Let me show you a couple slides so you'll be able to get kind of the picture around of what we're going to be able to do with the World Mission Offering. Go ahead and put that one up. First of all, our goal is $1.15 million. Today, we're going to do that. That's going to be absolutely amazing in one day to be able to do that. $1 million will go to the International Mission Board, $100,000 to the North American Mission Board, $50,000 to the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. So most of this, as you can see, is going to the world in an international mission way. Then if we surpass our goal, which, we like to do that around here. That's a great thing. We've already lined out there a few other hundred thousands of dollars to be able to give to that we can make a difference. I'll let you just read over that to be able to see that. So that's exciting as well. I think there's one final slide. You can give in just a few, in a little while, with the envelope that hopefully everybody got coming in, the app that we have, or online as well. And even if you've already given, my wife and I, we've already given. Our money is already in the church's hands to be able to give this. But we are going to symbolically come down, and we're going to be able to lay our envelope in the place that I'll tell you about in just a little bit, or your campus pastor will tell you about. So we're all going to be a part of that, even if you've already given. We just couldn't wait till Sunday to be able to give. We want to be the first ones to give leadership for that. And to be able to give. And I tell you this too, the Lord laid on our heart a number that was more than we've ever given before to world missions. And so we want to be able to give that to the World Mission Offering, and just kind of made me a little nervous. I was like, you sure, Lord? You sure, Lord? And no, he kept telling me that. So that's what we did to be able to just step out and let God to do what he wants to do. So that's where we're heading. We're going to change the world in the next few minutes. That's absolutely incredible. We get to be a part of looking into God's word. If you got a Bible, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. So there's one at every campus that we can give you, either in the seat back in front of you or in the lobby area, or you can ask somebody. But we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 19 is where we're going to start. And here's where we get in the scripture. John has been talking to us about loving our neighbor, about the love of God changing our lives in such a way that we can love our neighbor. We can love our brothers and sisters. So here we go in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. Here's what it says. And we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this love is made complete, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Notice day of judgment. Because he is. And so also we are in this world, so that we're living like Jesus is what that means. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. Verse 19. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Now, what we see in this passage in verse 16 is the love of God coming in our lives. Then he's going to talk about past, present, and future of our lives, that we don't have to have fear. Now, I hope you remember, and we put it on your listening guide so you can grab this as well, as you're taking notes. I hope you remember from last week I gave you a graphic. I don't have the prettiest drawings. We put some drawings on there on your listening guide already. But we talked about the reign of God. The reign of God, not just his reign on the throne, but that he rains down his love. Just as the earth needs water, our hearts need the reign of God. That's what verse 16 is about. God is love. And do we truly believe the love of God? Are we walking in the love of God? Well, if we're walking in the love of God, abiding is what the Bible calls this, remaining, letting the rain fall in our lives of the love of God, what will happen is we'll end up in our hearts with a reservoir of the love of God. So now my heart is filled. Now my heart is changed. Because remember, the Bible, the whole thing of the Bible is about relationships. It's first about a relationship with God. That's the first thing about it, a relationship with God. Next, it's going to help us to understand a relationship with myself. So I'm going to understand who God created me to be and what that looks like. Then I'm going to have a relationship with others. That's how it comes down. A relationship with God through the cross, relationship with my heart and myself through the heart that God's given me, and then a relationship with others, that now I'm going out and I'm going to make a difference in other people's lives because the reservoir of my life is filled. So the reign of God comes, then into the reservoir of God, and then to other rivers, as we see here, that the rivers come out and go into other people's lives. So now I've got the rivers that are flowing into other people's lives. So let's look at that for just a second. The reign of God's love is our hope. Take them one by one. The reign of God's love is our hope. That's where we find our hope, that we have the rain in our hearts and the reservoir in the rivers then flow out of that. Now, he gets to this next part in verse 17. When he starts talking about, okay, what does this mean? What does all this mean with the rain of God? He's going to show us something very interesting. He's going to show us that fear is going to die in our lives. That doesn't mean that we aren't not going to get a little bit afraid. Fear is kind of an instinctive response. But that we don't have to walk through life fearful. Perfect love casts out fear, he says later in the passage. In verse 17, he says, you don't need to fear judgment. He says that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Here's the point. No fear of the future. No fear of the future. God's love frees us from the fear of judgment because Jesus paid the price for us. Do you know that for the believer in Christ, judgment is not future. Judgment has actually been taken care of in the past. Jesus Christ died on the cross and said, it is finished. So judgment, yes, we'll come to a place of judgment. But when we come to that place of judgment, we walk in confidence. Why? The confidence comes because I will come as a believer in Christ. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you will step to the judgment seat as a son or a daughter, not as a criminal or a prisoner. Why? Because Jesus has paid for it in the past. So I can now be a person that walks in the reign of God with the reservoir of a filled heart, giving to others, and I can step in, not in some brash, I got this thing taken care of, but in a confidence that Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. And judgment for me, yes, it's coming in the future. We know that it is appointed unto a man to die, and then there is judgment. But the judgment comes for the believer based on the past judgment already taken care of on the cross. So when I step before the great white throne judgment, I know because I'm a believer and I've trusted Jesus as my Savior that I'm going to heaven, that I could trust Him, that I'm coming as a son, not as a prisoner, not as a criminal. And then when I step into the next judgment that's basically on works, it's basically to be able to receive gold and crowns and all these things, to just have ammo for worship so I could just throw it back at Jesus' feet. So Jesus wants us to know the love of God can free you from the fear of judgment. Now, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Jesus? Before I trusted Jesus, I kind of was like, what's going to happen after I die? I mean, and I thought if I just kind of balanced the scales, if I was good enough, a little bit better than most people, I mean, what would happen? Here's the good news. Here's the great news. As Mercy Me says in their new song, it's better than good news. It's the best news ever. Here's the good news, the best news ever. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. And if you and I will put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ alone to be our forgiveness, guess what? God will place your sin on Christ and trade your sin. Here's the best news ever. And you get His righteousness. So now judgment, as 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, we can walk in confidence knowing that Jesus Christ paid the price. So there's no fear of the future. But in verse 18, there's no fear of the present because we can trust in God's perfect love. There's no fear of the present. We can trust in God's perfect love. So we don't fear the future of judgment, but we don't have to fear the present either of God's perfect love. Here's what it says in verse 18. And this is a huge verse. Huge verse. Here's what it says in verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love. What is perfect love? That's Jesus, right? Perfect love drives out fear. Timothy would say, he's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of love, power, and self-discipline. Because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. In the present tense, you and I often live with fear. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of losing something. We're afraid of losing our social status. We're afraid of losing some money. We're afraid our retirement and our 401ks are going to drop. We're afraid the market's going to fall. We're afraid of the Republicans or we're afraid of the Democrats. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. We've got so much fear, and there's a lot of people, let me just tell you what, making a whole lot of money off us being afraid. I remember I had a marketing professor in business school. He said this, if you can find out what people are afraid of, you can make $1 million. Boy, they found that, hadn't they? Got to keep you locked into the news for 24 hours a day because if you miss one thing, keep you fearful, right? Keep us afraid of everything. You go shopping for a new car seat for your baby. You're going to have a baby. I remember going into Toys R Us and they would look, or I shouldn't say Toys R Us, strike that. I'm sure they're a great company, whatever place we went to. And the guy was like, okay, this car seat here, if you get in a wreck, your baby dies. But for another $100, this one will keep safety. And you'll be there. Well, I think I'll take the $100 one, right? The more to be able to do that. So we find those things to be able to lift things up, to make it stronger and better. But here it is, and we should be careful. I'm not saying don't be careful. But it's saying perfect love casts out fear. We're afraid of failure. Some of us are afraid of success because success takes a whole lot of work. So we don't even want to try. We're afraid of getting married. Because you've seen so much divorce, afraid of having a true friendship because somebody's hurt you, afraid of really caring for somebody because what if they wrong you and betray you? I asked our counseling center, our director of our counseling center, I said, tell me about this verse 18 of John chapter 4 from a counseling's perspective. Here's what he said. 1 John 18, Adam Mason, our counseling director, he said this, it is an incredibly important verse of scripture. It addresses the core emotional experience that separates us from God and one another, fear. And it provides the antidote, love. Most people will tell you that faith is the antidote of fear, but it's not. It's love. It's God's love. When a child is frightened by a storm in the middle of the night, they don't want information about how strong the house is. They want to snuggle in bed with mom and dad, and they want to escape into the arms of those with whom they experience the most love. Having said all this, I can safely say that fear plays a significant and vital role in almost every counseling situation. So does a child want to know how well the house is built, or do they want to be loved? And God, what does he do here? I want to take you as fearful ones, and I want to love you well, because the root of fear is punishment, and the punishment has been given on the cross through Christ. So there's nothing to fear. But what's the difference in punishment and discipline? Because sometimes they seem alike. Punishment is punitive in nature. Discipline is restorative in nature. Zig Ziglar said it like this. He said that punishment is what you do to someone. Discipline is what you do for someone. So punishment has been given. Christ on the cross received the punishment of sin so that we could then walk. And yes, we're going to receive the discipline of God at different times. But we're going to be able to walk without fear, knowing that the root of fear is punishment. And so here's what I'd ask you to do. Ask this question. I've been asking in my own heart all week long. What am I afraid of, and why am I afraid of it? What am I afraid of, and why am I afraid of it? And if you'll take that through a journaling process, through a thoughtful process, what am I afraid of? Well, I'm afraid of this. Well, why am I afraid of it? Well, I'm afraid of it because of this reason. I'm afraid that somebody's going to be mad at me. Why am I afraid of it? I'm not speaking autobiographically, just for all of us. I'm afraid somebody's going to be against me. What am I afraid? Why am I afraid of that? Well, because maybe your parents were abusive and you got used to getting yelled at. So anytime there's tension, whoa, you just want to keep that out. What are you afraid of, and why are you afraid of it? Look at your background. Look at your personality. Look at your heart. Look at your fears. Look at your upbringing and ask that question. See, because here's what happens. You ready? Fear blocks rivers of love and creates leaks of energy. Fears block rivers of love and create leaks of energy. Let's look back at our chart here. My messy, messy old chart that hopefully is making some sense to you. So the reign of God comes in our life. We don't have to fear judgment because God's love has been shown on the cross through Jesus Christ. We have filled hearts. So with myself, I can ask, why am I afraid and what am I afraid of? And I can really kind of get down in my hearts because fear involves punishment. Well, what am I so afraid I'm going to be punished by? And then if I get that fear taken care of, then the rivers will flow out of my life because a river of life will spring out of my life. But if I don't, if I operate in fear, here's what happens. You ready? Watch this. These rivers begin to get blocked just a little bit. So now I can't really love you as well as I want to love you. And then now out of here becomes an explosion of energy leakage because of fear. Have you ever been worried about something and you don't sleep well? And what happens is all night long, you are leaking energy. Have you ever feared a conversation that's coming up, a meeting that's coming up, an employee you're going to have to talk to, whatever it is? Have you ever feared that conversation? And for like days, you leak energy and you're leaking it because of the fear. So what then happens? Then you get testy and short with your wife. You get aggravated and frustrated with your kids. You come to church and you're like, I don't want to hear any more of this God stuff. And all of a sudden now the rivers get some blockage because out of here, all your heart is doing is leaking. And now as it's leaking, you're not seeing the love of God. You're seeing the leakage. So the reservoir is beginning to decrease. And now you begin like, I don't have enough to give anybody else. I don't got enough time. I don't got enough money. I don't have enough heart. I don't have enough because my fear has bring leakage in my life that has kind of put a little bit of a dam, if you will, between the rivers flowing in my life. And now I can't even see the rain of God. All I can see is the clouds. And I'm just more afraid, more afraid, more afraid. See, but God is saying, I want perfect love to cast out fear. How does perfect love cast out fear? Perfect love cast out fear by letting the rain fall and you realizing the perfect love of God. Listen to the second line of amazing grace. You've sung this song 1,000 times. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Fear what? Fear God. Now watch, so good. And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. So I fear God, yes, that's healthy respect of God. So now I don't have to fear man. And perfect love can cast out fear. And the rivers can flow, and I don't have to leak energy. And I don't have to just have my mind just swirling. I could trust God. You know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to give it to you. So he says, I don't want you to fear the present. Now in verse 19, he says, no fear of the past. No fear of the past. Why is there no fear of the past? Because he first loved us. He first loved us. So even your past, Jesus first loved you. Before you were even on planet Earth, he died on the cross. Before you were even on a thought, before your parents were on planet Earth, before you were a thought of a thought of a thought and your great, 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 whatever grandparents, Jesus Christ already said, I love you, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished on the cross, and the Holy Spirit has come down from heaven so that you and I wouldn't have to fear our future in judgment. We wouldn't have to fear our present as we walk out life because the love of God is in our life and he's guiding us. We wouldn't have to fear our past because he first loved us. And many of us are so paralyzed by our past. We have so much parental guilt. If I just would have done a little bit better with my family, if I just would have done a little bit better with my marriage, if I just would have done a little bit better at work, if I just would have done this, that, why did I get out of that stock? Why did I not invest in this? Why did I not do this? I should have gone there. I should have took that job. I should have. And Jesus said, look, I first loved you on all of those things. Not saying that every decision is the right decision. We could all make bad decisions. But Jesus loves you through all of those things, and he can forgive your past. He could forgive your past. He already loves you. Single adults, is there something in your heart, even though you don't know who that person is, you already love that person that God may have for you to be married to? There's a song by Michael Bublé. It's a great song, really cute song. It's called I Just Haven't Met You Yet. Wherever you are, whenever it's right, you'll come out of nowhere and into my life. And I know that we could be amazing because I know your love is going to change me. And now I can see every possibility. Somehow I know that it'll all turn out. You'll make me work so we can work it out. I promise you, kid, I'll give you so much more than I get, but I just haven't met you yet. It's a declaration of I already love you. I already love you. Single adults, you're in a sense, if you think about it in time-wise, you're already married if God wants you to be married. So be pure today in respect for that person that God may have for you in the future because you already love them. Pray for them. Have your kids, parents, and grandkids, grandparents, pray. Have your kids and grandkids being praying for their spouse already, thinking about the love they already have for them. Jesus Christ already loved you before you were on planet Earth. That's incredible. So there's no fear of the future of judgment. There's no fear in the present. There's no fear of the past. So now watch what can happen. Now the rain of God in my life to fill my reservoir with myself, to flow to others. So here's where we get to this. I can flow freely to others because of the rain and the power of God in my life to fill my heart. Only secure people can truly love. And God has given me security in my past, present, and future, so now I can truly love you. And you know what is a huge tool for breaking our fears? Missions is a huge tool for breaking our fear and growing our faith. Missions is a huge tool of breaking our fear and growing our faith. Why? Because you're giving and you're going for somebody else. It's not for you, it's not for me, it's for somebody else. So we're giving and we're going for someone else. Missions has with it a fear of money. I don't know if I want to give. I mean, if I give, what are they going to ask for next? If I give, am I going to have enough? What if I give and then I need something? Man, it truly is more blessed to give than to receive for somebody else, but not for me, right? Missions breaks that Because all of a sudden now we give, and when we give, it goes rivers downstream to somebody we may never meet until we get to heaven. And so our heart goes, wow, I've got to really be secure in who I am and who God is if I'm going to give to somebody else somewhere else, right? Nobody does this like Christians can do this, because we come knowing God can provide and provide and provide, provide. He can provide tomorrow. He's going to provide the next day. He's going to provide. He's going to provide. He's going to provide a year from now. So now I can take out of this resource here, this reservoir here, and I can let rivers flow to other people. I can give and I can go. I can give and I can go. I remember the second time I'd ever been on kind of a real mission trip. I'd gone to Asia one time before, and I felt like the Lord was calling us to go back. And it was a summertime, and I felt like the Lord wanted Kelly and I, we didn't have kids yet, to go to Asia and spend about 6 weeks, live in a college dorm on a campus in Asia and be ministers there. I sensed this in my heart. I got on the phone with a friend and said, what do you think about this? He said, you just need to trust the Lord. Here was my big problem. In summer times at that time in my life, I usually spoke at about 7 student camps every summer. So 7 weeks of my summer was going to be spent on student camp speaking, and that was about 30 to 40% of our income. And at this time, we were young marrieds. We had purchased a house. Times were tight, tight, tight. I would come out from paying bills, and I would be literally pulling my hair out, and Kelly said, we're going to make it. I said, it's going to be tight. Just don't tell your dad, okay? Just whatever. But I felt like God was calling us to go. Well, what do you do? I said, Lord, we lay it down to you. And I just decided we were going to say no to those camps. I don't know how in the world we're going to pay for 2 flights to go to Asia. I don't know how it's going to work. The phone rings. I pick up the phone. This is the same week in which we laid it down. I said, Lord, we lay it down. Pick up the phone, and the gentleman on the other end of the phone that I'd never met before said, hey, God's laid your name on our heart, and we would just want to know, would you want to do a conference in Asia this summer? All we can do is pay for your flights and your time that you're spending there with us, and then we'll pay for your flight into the other place. We talked about it, that we were going to go and do ministry. And everything was taken care of, and God provided. And I tell you, in my young little married heart, and Kelly's young little married heart, in our 20s, that showed us God can bring the rain, and God can bring the reservoir, and all we got to do is let the rivers flow. And let God do something. And God in that moment broke fear. And that breaking of fear then allowed me to stand up and to preach more. Allowed me to even say yes years and years ago to come in here. Allowed us to be able to step forward and all those things. The fear that God can break through missions. Ben Rector has a song called Fear. He says this, I've been scared to death of failing. Scared to death that I'd look like a fool. So I'd rather quit than to risk that I could lose. The fear chased me down outside of Georgia, and I was sure that I was done. But something in me would not turn and run. Oh, I heard the Lord in California, and I remembered who I was. Listen, and I learned to dance with the fear that I have been running from. Fear is going to be in your life a long time. Talked to a student. He was leading a Bible study at his high school, and he said this. He said, Pastor, I'm just scared nobody's going to show up. I said, I've been in ministry for 30 years. I'm always scared no one's going to show up. Every week, I'm scared nobody's going to show up. World ministry, I'm scared nobody's going to show up. You lay those fears down, though, and you say, God, you just bring the rain. I'll just be a reservoir, and I'll let the river flow. As we finish up very quickly, the river. We've talked about the rain of God, the reservoir that can get jammed with fear. And now the river. Love your brother and your sister. The river is that we love our brother and sister. Look at it in 1 John in verse 20 and 21. Here's what it says. It says, if anyone says, I love God and yet hates his brother and sister, he's a liar. For the person who does not love his brother and sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. That, my friend, the river is to love your brother and sister. You know what those two verses are? Let me just tell you what those two verses are. They're the beginning, the catalyst of missions, and the death of racism, and the death of sexism, and the death of prejudice. So what do you see in today's society as we talk about all these things? This verse is the death of all those things. And it's the catalyst of missions. If you love God, you're going to love your brother or your sister. And if you say you love God and you don't love your brother and sister, he says flat out, this is John, not me, you're a liar. If there's no rivers going from your heart to other people, then you don't have any rain. That's what he's saying. But if you got the rain, you're going to have the rivers. And those rivers are going to flow to people that are absolutely, completely different from you. And you know what missions is? It's loving people that are absolutely, completely different than you. Show you a couple pictures and see if you see the difference. We got to go back to Asia, and this is me preaching in a church there in Asia. The ladies would sit on the right, you could kind of notice, and then the men on the left. I'm preaching in socks. You can't see it because they said, when you step into the pulpit, it's a holy place and you got to take off your shoes. And so everybody would take off their shoes before they'd even come into the church. So that's me preaching. Let me show you the pastor. See if you, I'm the one on the left, okay? Do you notice? I just want you to make sure you know the difference between me and him. Okay, which one's a pastor in America and which one's a pastor in India? But yet you see there, this church being built, that this land was given in honor of Harvey and Charlene Kneisel, our previous missions pastor for years and years, all campuses. Let's clap. They're right here in this worship service right now. That's my book holding up, Unstoppable Gospel, for bringing the unstoppable gospel into northern India. And so here we have this moment, this time of being able to declare that. Do you see the difference? It's not my food. It's not my look, it's not my style. I don't have a shirt that long, right? But that's missions. So I ask you today, will you let the rain flow from the rivers of your life? Because bottom line, we're called to serve God and others. And some of you, the call may be to go on a trip as well as to give. Or maybe God's calling you to be a missionary. Talk to one of our staff members about that. We'd love to be able to do that, to help you with that. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab this envelope right where you are. Everybody, every campus. And I'm going to show you a video. If you're not inspired by this message, you will be inspired by this video. And what we'll do in just a few moments, you can look over this. It's got a place where you can put in a check if you want to do that. You can write down what you want to do. If you open up the flap, you can put down a credit card there. You can download the app that we've talked about. It's got that on the front there. You can text to be able to do that. But what we're going to do is we're going to have this video show. And as we show this video, then we're going to have a time of reflection that we're going to pray together. And then in a moment, all campuses, all places, we're going to give, and the rivers are going to flow, and we're going to change the world. That's what's going to happen. Can you believe that? In the next 10 minutes, we're going to change the world in an amazing way for the gospel of Christ. So you hold this in your hands as you watch this video, and let your heart feel the rain flow into the reservoir as God speaks to you about the rivers flowing out of your life.
Brothers and sisters, the IMB is open for business. The IMB is not about a president. The IMB is not about David Platt in the present, and the IMB is not about another president in the future. The IMB is about a coalition of 47,000 churches working together to support thousands of anonymous missionaries whose names and places where they work can't even be mentioned in public because they are spreading the gospel at the risk of their lives. The Muslim People Group is hearing the gospel for the first time in one of the largest slums in sub-Saharan Africa. We are seeing thousands of Persian, Iranian, and Afghan refugees coming to know Christ across Europe. One church in a European city started four new churches in the last year. Just to give you a picture of the nations in those churches, when six people were recently baptized, two were European, one was Chinese, and the other three were Iranian. We just saw a Yazidi refugee who was fleeing ISIS come to Christ and get baptized. Last month, after years of work, we finally planted a church in a country that's almost 100% Muslim. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, we train 160 national pastors and missionaries to reach 32 Bible-less peoples. In one village in South Asia, we train 40 pastors and church leaders to reach migrant people groups in the villages around them. We're seeing refugees come to Christ, become disciple makers, and return to their war-torn homeland to rebuild the foundations of their lives and communities on the gospel of Jesus Christ. An East Asian couple we trained is now being sent out as missionaries to a Middle Eastern country. We're sharing Christ with the deaf around the world through social media and other electronic means, and they're coming to faith in Him. And here's one fuller story. In one Muslim country in Southeast Asia, one of our missionaries was with one of his national partners named Ahmad. It looked like it was about to rain, and Ahmad asked our missionary if he could borrow an old shirt to wear as he rode his motorcycle because he didn't want to get his new jacket wet. Our missionary handed him a big white t-shirt. Looked like it was about to rain. As Ahmad got on his motorcycle, he started on his trip though, and indeed it started raining. As many people do, he pulled his motorcycle over under an awning. As he stood there, the owners of a house nearby came out and, as is their custom, invited him in for tea. He went in, and over tea, Ahmad thought, I might as well share the gospel. And after he did, he asked the couple, do you want to believe and be baptized? And without any hesitation, they said yes. Ahmad was taken back at how quickly they responded, and he said, do you understand what you're doing? That you will probably be shunned by your family for this, or even worse? The man said, you don't understand. I've had several dreams over the last 3 nights, and in each dream, a man wearing white has told me he had the way to salvation for my family and me. Last night, that man appeared to me again and told me a man dressed in white would come to my home the next day and share the way of salvation. When we saw you standing outside, we knew we needed to invite you in and hear whatever you had to say to us. This formerly Muslim couple is now a follower of Isa the Messiah. So, if anyone asks you what's happening at the IMB, you tell them disciples are being made, churches are being multiplied, and Jesus Christ is being glorified among people who have never even heard His name.
So if somebody asks you today, what happened today at Houston First, you tell them we changed the world. I want you to take at all campuses, everybody, this envelope in your hand right now. So we move into a holy moment where we gather with 47,000 churches, but more particularly with our 5 campuses to say we're stepping forward. We're stepping forward. I'd like for you to just take a time of reflection at all campuses to just pray and ask God what He would have you do. If you're married and your spouse is sitting next to you, I'd like you right now to grab their hand and hold their hand as you pray together. And in just a moment, the campus pastor or myself, we'll step forward and we'll have our time that we'll be able to all bring this forward. Students, this is for you. Kids, this is for you. All of us giving. Take a moment, just reflect and ask the Lord, what would He have you do? What is the rivers flowing out of your life today?